Hello. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AARP magazine, the April-May issue. And I'm going to start with a few sidebar articles from an article that I read to you last week, Please Don't Get Emotional, about scams. And so here's some more scams that you need to be wary of. Intimidation. Dialing your number 50 or 60 times a day, claiming they know where you live, even threatening to do you bodily harm. Scammers today know no boundaries. Ignore those. Scarcity. This is the notion that if something is rare, it must be valuable. Con artists pitch three kinds of scarcity products, and only a few exist. Time. Offer expires at midnight. And winners. Only 1 in 5 million win this. Source credibility. Scammers will do all they can to convince you that there are FBI agents, police, IRS agents, or representatives of well-known financial institutions to wrap the cloak of authority around their operation. Don't believe it. Commitment. Most people have an innate desire to do what they say they will. So swindlers get you to make a commitment, such as to follow instructions exactly. Later, when you resist, they will accuse you of going back on your word. And finally, reciprocity. If I do something for you, it is natural for you to return the favor. Scammers use this cultural form by granting victims a small favor, often borrowed from the retail world, like free shipping or waived fees, and then asking for a much bigger one in return. Next, I'm going to read you an article, Stay Sharp, Be Healthy, and Get Happy. Only a few decades ago, doctors defined health as the absence of disease. Today, we're much wiser. We know that without a strong mind, good relationships, and a body that's prepped for the long haul, it's hard to say someone is fully well. With that in mind, we've come up with our biggest, most comprehensive health guide for people who are 70 or older. The first section is about your digestive system. A healthy gut means a healthier you overall. One unsavory characteristic of aging is gradually elevated chronic low-grade inflammation in the body, or inflammaging. It's usually caused by the immune system becoming less efficient. Increased fat in the midsection and gut dysbiosis, unhealthy gut bacteria balance. What this means is that the quality of food we send into the GI tract becomes even more important as we age. Nutrition and energy stores all come from your digestive system based on what you eat, says Dr. Ahuja, an assistant professor of gastroenterology at the University of Pennsylvania. If you eat well and self-monitor for basic digestive health today, you will be in a better place later on. Read on for what to watch. Well, I'll do the reading. You can do the listening. Check your fiber intake. A 2018 study finds that a 10-gram increase in fiber for every 1,000 calories consumed corresponded with longer telomeres, a marker of DNA health, and a biological age difference of 4.3 years. But the average American gets only about half of the recommended 25 to 35 grams of fiber per day. 25 to 35 grams should be easily achievable in a well-balanced diet. To get there, make a note of eating at least one high-fiber meal a day, such as fiber-dense cereal at breakfast, a lentil soup at lunch, or a bean burrito at dinner. Then be sure you have whole grains, nuts, beans, and either vegetables or fruit at other times during the day. Move fast and slow. The less you work out, the longer digested food can sit around inside your body. If you slow down, your bowel movements may too, Ahuja said. A lack of exercise may also predispose you to weight gain, raising your risk of reflux and diabetes. Fortunately, a 2019 study showed that sedentary adults, average age 54, who took part in a 12-week exercise program had significant improvement in blood pressure, blood glucose, and fatty liver tissue. Some did straight cardio and others did high-intensity interval training, interspersing a hard-pushing periods into a cardio routine. The HIIT exercisers achieved the health benefits in about 60 minutes or less of activity per week versus 150 minutes. Rethink how you fight. Researchers at Ohio State University videotaped 43 married couples as they worked through concerns such as family matters and money. The researchers then drew blood from each subject. The couples who showed the greatest hostility during their talks had the highest levels of inflammation. See tips for a stronger relationship and marriage stories of a happy kind, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Challenge your diet. If you struggle frequently with gas or other annoying gastric symptoms, the best way to self-diagnose is an elimination diet. It's always best to work with a doctor or registered dietitian to help you through the process, says Dana Ellis Hunas, senior dietitian at the UCLA Medical Center. That said, if you want to try such a diet on your own, follow the guidelines. Eliminate the suspected food for at least 2 weeks. Preferably, do this for a month. Don't dabble. Truly eliminate suspected offending foods, Hunas says. The most common causes of gastric distress are dairy, due to lactose intolerance, and wheat, because of gluten sensitivity. To test yourself, you might start by banning all dairy products for at least 14 days. Ideally for 30 days. If the bloating goes away, test yourself further by adding yogurt back into your diet. Yogurt is easier to digest than other dairy foods. If that causes no problem for several days, introduce cheese. If that causes no issues, add milk a few days later. Keep a journal of your test and write in it every day. This will give you a clear picture of whether your symptoms change as you eliminate a food group. If not, you know that food isn't problematic and it's something else entirely, Hunas explains. Now, for an article about your skin, hair, and nails. You already know to drink water, moisturize, and use sunscreen every day, notes Sarah Perkins, MD, an associate professor of dermatology at the Yale School of Medicine. But now, vigilance and self-examination should go along with those daily routines. Try these four self-checks of your body's exterior. Don't just look at your skin, feel it. Most of us know to self-monitor for visual skin cancer clues, such as oddly shaped or colored moles. But running your hands over your skin may be even more important. Sun damage, and thus the risk for skin cancer, accumulates over time, Perkins said. Any spots on your skin that are growing, changing, hurting, or bleeding should always be evaluated by a dermatologist. Get eyes on your scalp. Your scalp isn't a place you typically see, but if you color your hair or use wigs or extensions, it can be even more difficult to detect potential scalp problems. The solution? At your next hair appointment, ask your stylist or barber to look for anything unusual, Perkins recommends. Stylists are good for this because we see them regularly, which makes it easier for them to notice or feel scalp changes. Some stylists train for this via programs such as Stylists Against Skin Cancer from the American Society for Dermatological Surgery, and Eyes on Cancer. Check below the belt. We typically think of skin checks for the face, chest, and back, but the skin below the belt can offer us health clues as well. Tell your physician if you notice the following: brown areas and or hair loss on the lower legs. This may indicate the beginning of peripheral vascular disease, the narrowing of blood vessels away from the heart or the brain. Recurrent fungal infections in the groin or shiny round lesions on the lower shins. These may be an indication of diabetes. Inspect your nails. A wide, single, dark band under a nail should be evaluated for skin cancer. Many things can cause this: a mole, a bruise, but subungual melanoma can also present in this way, said Perkins, who advises removing all nail polish before doctor's visits. We're all familiar with the Heart Disease Risk Factor Hall of Fame. So now we're on to your heart, lungs, and circulation. Excess weight, low fitness, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. But while we think of them as individual problems, they're really not, Columbia University's Agarwal says. They all work together to create an overall picture for disease. Here's how to look beyond just the numbers you got from your most recent doctor's appointment. Record your weight fluctuations. Ask yourself, how many times in my life have I gained or lost 10 pounds in a year? Agarwal co-authored a 2019 study of 485 women that asked that simple question. 3 out of 4 reported at least one episode of weight cycling, she notes. That's troubling news, as any history of repeated weight gain and loss is associated with poor cardiovascular health. Every time we lose weight and gain it back, even if it's a bit, our numbers for blood pressure and glucose, for example, inch a little higher from a baseline and become a little worse than last time. Check your earlobes. It's long been observed that a diagonal crease in the earlobe, descending downward at about a 45-degree angle, known as Frank's sign, is an indication you should be extra cautious about your heart disease risk. But the link has become more clear in the past few years. A recent study of 241 patients who were hospitalized with an acute ischemic stroke found that 79% of them had earlobes with this exact crease. Another study showed that men with Frank's sign who were suffering from metabolic syndrome had shorter telomeres, a sign of accelerated aging, and greater degrees of atherosclerosis compared with those who lacked the sign. Consider new research on heart risks. Emerging research during the past 5 to 10 years has identified some newer risk factors that are recognized but not necessarily official in national guidelines, Agarwal says. Take your heart health more seriously if you have any of these issues in your medical history. Poor sleep, in particular short sleep, waking up early or falling asleep late, and poor sleep quality from obstructive sleep apnea, for instance, are both strongly linked to cardiovascular disease. Past pregnancy complications. Women who had complications such as high blood pressure, preeclampsia, or gestational diabetes while they were pregnant may be at double the risk for heart disease as others who had uneventful pregnancies. Those 9 months are a woman's first stress test for cardiovascular disease, Agarwal says. Even if it was 50 years ago, be sure to share this part of your medical history with your doctor. Arthritis. People with arthritis are at a higher risk for heart disease, probably due to chronic low-grade inflammation. Rheumatoid arthritis is an inflammatory autoimmune disease, but even joint inflammation from garden variety osteoarthritis may spread to other systems in the body, including the heart. Agarwal explains, another good reason to include as much movement in your day as possible. A 2019 osteoarthritis and cartilage study investigated the cellular response in knees and found that exercising them may temper the inflammatory response. Time your meals. Taking advantage of the early bird special might actually lengthen your life. A 2019 study showed that women who consumed more calories after 6 p.m. had worse cardiovascular health than did those who ate nothing in the evening. For every 1% increase in evening calories, their blood pressure, body mass index, and blood sugar all worsened, possibly because these nighttime calories were extras added on to the day's meals. And time your meds. A 6-year study of 9,000 people, average age 60, who were on blood pressure medication found that those who took it before bed as opposed to first thing in the morning had lower pressure readings and improved their heart disease and stroke risk. It's not entirely clear why, but the nighttime meds gave participants significantly better sleeping blood pressure than the morning med takers experienced without losing any of their daytime effectiveness. And finally, rehab your heart. Can you spare 30 minutes out of your day to exercise, even if it's just brisk walking? Studies show that those who engage in regular, moderate to high density exercise see a reduction and even reversal of the artillery stiffening that occurs with age, lowering the risk of cardiovascular disease. One study found this to be true even among those ages 66 to 90. And now, marriage stories of the happy kind. Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue bring you an intimate look at 7 famous marriages and why they've lasted so long. Private details you'll read only here. Now, we won't be able to get through all 7 of these today, but we can give it a good start. Almost a year ago, we picked up the phone and heard the tearful voice of one of our dearest friends. "We're getting a divorce," she told us, and we nearly lost our breath. She and her husband had been married for 28 years. They were good friends and always good company. This earthquake in their lives shook us and many of our friends, too. "What happened?" we kept asking each other. "If it happened to them, could it happen to any of us?" Where did they go wrong, we wondered, and more to the point, where did we go right? This heartbreaking event prompted the two of us to talk about our own marriage. What we did like about us as a couple. What do we still not get right? How far have we traveled since that spring day in 1980 when we made our wedding vows? And what exactly has kept us going year after year? We started to wonder if there really is a secret sauce to a successful marriage. And that's when we decided to break an ironclad rule of our marriage, the first time ever, and work on a project together. We would write a book, one that pulled together the personal stories of many devoted couples and uncover some of the mystery of marriage in a way that could be a source of information and inspiration for other couples, from newlyweds to long-married couples like us. For 9 months, we crisscrossed the country, sitting down on double dates with couples we had admired who had been married 15 years or older. We waived that requirement for the gay couples we interviewed, whose marriages were not legal nationwide until 2015. As different as these couples' stories are, they share a common plot line, that of two people joining hands and stepping up to the most challenging, invigorating, inspiring, infuriating, thrilling, terrifying, delightful, and heavenly job on earth, making a marriage last. So first we have Judy and Jerry Scheinlin, married in 1978 and 1991. And it's titled A Sudden Total Split. Judge Judy is the most successful daytime TV personality in history. Jerry is an author, a retired New York State Supreme Court judge, and someone with the gentle sense of humor to balance Judy's fiery wit. Each of them had been married before, and those marriages produced 5 children. They created a blended family, but 12 years later, their marriage reached a crossroads. Judy. Jerry had a lot of baggage to bring to our relationship. I felt it was my job to make it all better. But then my father died, and my father had been my champion. When you lose that, you have every right to say, "All right, somebody has to take care of me." I wasn't asking for anything unreasonable, and Jerry wasn't being unreasonable, saying that he really didn't know how to do that. Jerry, I said, "Tell me what you want me to do." She said, "If you can't maneuver this, I'm going to divorce you." I said, "I dare you." The next day, I got divorce papers. Judy, he didn't think I would do it, but they missed each other terribly. About a year after the divorce, Jerry asked Judy to dinner. They began dating, and before long, they re-wed. Marlo, was Jerry a changed man? Judy, he wasn't more inclined to take care of me than he had been before, but I think we both had a realization that we were better as a couple than we were separately. I used to sweat the small stuff. I had to give that up. Next we have Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Baker, married in 1988. Their challenge, caught up in a shocking swindle. It took persuading to get actors Kevin and Kira to talk about the success of their 31-year, two-kid marriage. As Kevin told us on the phone, "My first piece of advice is not to take advice from celebrities." But eventually, the couple invited us to their home in Manhattan. "I never want to come off like a celebrity who knows more than anybody else in the world," Kira said. "Who am I to say what works for me works for somebody else?" Kevin agreed. "Whenever people ask us how we stayed married, I've started saying, keep the fights clean and the sex dirty." I felt like that would just end the conversation. "And it does," Kira added. She starred for 7 seasons in the TNT police drama, The Closer. It was in 2008, in the middle of that show's runs, that the news hit about the arrest of Bernie Madoff, who operated the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. Kira and Kevin had invested their life savings in this firm and lost it all. Kira, we had both been working professionally, Kev since he was 17 and me since 15, and it was all the money we had. It was all over the news. About 5 o'clock on a winter day just before Christmas, it was a hard day. Kevin, but we're so privileged in about a bazillion ways. Yes, he's a bad man, but we were dumb to... Kira, trust him. We were both in shock. But then you do a quick body scan to get some perspective. Our children were safe. We were still working. We could make the money back. Phil, wow, that was quite a trial for you two. Kevin, the first thing I thought was, I don't know, let's have sex or something. It's free. But it didn't challenge the marriage. In fact, the marriage made things easier. The money was gone, but we still had each other. And finally, Kira says, there was no plan B. No matter what, we wanted to work it out. And finally for today, Viola Davis and Julius Tenen, A Tendency to Overthink, married in 2003. She's an introvert and an Oscar-winning actress, as well as the Emmy-winning star of the ABC legal drama How to Get Away with Murder. He's an extrovert who strikes up conversations with strangers. "I'm the mayor of everywhere," he told us with a laugh. But when Julius, also an actor, met Viola, he was excited about the possibility of what the relationship could be, he said. Within 3 months, they were living together in an apartment in California. Julius had been divorced 2 times and had raised two children as a single parent before he met Viola. Together, they adopted daughter Genesis, who's now 9 years old. Viola, I always thought marriage was 50-50, but it's 100-100. Julius is great with everything because he'll listen and say, V, stop thinking about a month from now. We're not there yet. Think about today. And that helps me a lot. The best thing I brought into my marriage is the ability to ask myself, what am I contributing to it? Or what am I doing to destroy it? That's been my personal responsibility. Not to say, make me happy, Julius. Make the marriage good, Julius. I also have to step up. Julius, it's always about keeping our marriage at the forefront. I've told her, honey, whatever you want, I'm doing it. Viola, someone once told me that when a couple marries, they experience a sort of dying of their old lives. Marlo, meaning? Viola, your joy and your happiness are important, and your husband's joy and happiness are important. But you can't operate separately with your own joy if it doesn't honor the big umbrella of the ultimate commitment. You've got to feel the good of the whole. But I will say this. My big thing about marriage, and it's advice I give to all of my friends, is that it doesn't start when you walk down the aisle. Your marriage starts when you look over at a person whom you love more than anything, and there's that one character trait that makes you say to yourself, oh man, that's going to drive me crazy. And then the next minute you say, but you know what? I love him. That's when your marriage starts. And also from them, you have to really listen to each other, because once you stop listening, you're not there. And we have just a very short article here before our time is up. Go outside and play. Bored of bocce? Try these backyard games. Moiki, the Finnish game is like bowling in the air. Throw a wooden dowel to scatter the skittles or pick one off. Battleship. This game combines golf with cornhole. Instead of throwing a bag, you launch foam golf balls. Spike ball. Hit a ball into the netted trampoline. It's good for a cardio workout without much running. And I want to go back to the money saver, just say no, to give you a few extra reminders. Avoid these. Free eats. Free vacation. Act now. This deal won't last. Nab your discount and high returns guarantee. Don't fall for those. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.